From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Ari Snyder with the news on this day in Maine, Thursday, April 17th, 2025. Maine Governor Janet Mills expressed confidence today that the state will prevail in a discrimination lawsuit brought by the Trump administration over a state policy that allows transgender athletes to compete in girls' sports. She also said President Donald Trump is targeting a vulnerable minority group to distract from policies that she says will hurt Americans. Steve Missler has more.
Mills used a gaggle with reporters in Bangor to reiterate that her confrontation with the president in February is rooted in the rule of law, adding that the president cannot bend states or others to his will via executive order and intimidation. She said last week's decision by a federal judge temporarily banning the U.S. Department of Agriculture from freezing federal funds for alleged Title IX violations likely foreshadowed that the state will ultimately prevail in court. And while Mills said her battle isn't about athletics, she believes Trump is targeting transgender people to draw attention away from economic policies and gutting of programs like Social Security.
To target people, a minority group, who are already targeted in other ways, in cruel and unfair ways, is a sad and cruel distraction.
Mills was alluding to the moves the Trump administration has made against transgender people, including a ban from serving in the military. She also acknowledged that Maine has been singled out in some ways since her confrontation with Trump in February, but that other states will also be in his crosshairs. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Steve Missler.
The American Civil Liberties Union says more immigrants are being detained in Maine, but the group is seeking more information on who is being held, where they're being held, and for how long. As of this week, the group says Cumberland County Jail was holding 80 people for Immigration and Customs Enforcement, or ICE, and that Two Bridges Regional Jail in Wiscasset has been holding up to 25 people. ACLU of Maine staff attorney Anahita Satuhi says she's still waiting on public records requests from numerous law enforcement agencies.
I think the main takeaway is that what exactly is happening with immigration detention in Maine is still really opaque.
She says part of the challenge is that ICE and Border Patrol often move people between detention facilities, making it harder for people in custody to maintain access to legal counsel. The number of travelers crossing the Canadian border into Maine declined in March by 26% compared to the same month last year, continuing a decline that began with President Donald Trump's tariffs and threats of annexation. The data on border crossings into Maine comes from monthly U.S. Customs and Border Protection reports. In February, when the president first announced his tariffs against Canada and goals of annexing the country, there was a 15% decline from the previous year. The March data show an even steeper drop-off, about 60,000 fewer people coming through Maine border crossings. The figure is part of an overall drop at all northern border crossings of 900,000 travelers nationwide. It's a trend that's concerning some state officials in Maine who say Canadian visitors make up an important piece of the state's tourism economy. Governor Janet Mills says Maine could see 225,000 fewer Canadian tourists this year due to the tensions created by the Trump administration.
That's hundreds of thousands fewer people staying in our hotels, our B&Bs, fewer people making reservations at restaurants, shopping in our small businesses, buying souvenirs and products that we retail here in Maine.
Speaking at the Governor's Conference on Tourism in Bangor today, Mills emphasized the importance of preserving Maine's centuries-old relationship with Canada. Although some have suggested Maine can make up the difference by attracting more tourists from within the U.S., Mills warns that other states will be competing for those same visitors. In May, Holton Regional Hospital will close its obstetrics unit, leaving a huge swath of northern Maine without hospital-based labor and delivery services. It's the fourth hospital this year to close its labor and delivery services and follow several others over the past decade, from York to Fort Kent. Patty White reports on why maternity units are closing and what it may mean for the care of mothers and babies.
The week after the maternity unit closure in Holton was announced, about 200 community members packed into a standing room only town hall meeting organized by the nurses union.
I've spent the last several days trying to process how I'm feeling, and the feeling I've come to the conclusion of is that I'm worried.
Jamie Hovey is a labor and delivery nurse at the hospital.
I'm worried about women in this community, what they'll do, when they need emergency OB services and have to get loaded in the back of an ambulance and head an hour north.
That's where the closest hospital is, in Presque Isle. The next closest is south in Bangor, nearly 2 hours away. Corinne Matthews says when she went into labor early at 33 weeks, transport to the NICU in Bangor was deemed too risky, so she had an emergency C-section at Holton.
If it was not for the OB, labor and delivery staff at Holton Regional Hospital, the end result would have been much different, and I might have been burying my son rather than spending a month in the NICU with him.
Health providers also shared harrowing labor stories.
We depend on Holton because I've personally taken care of patients who would not make it if they had to be transported to Presque Isle or Bangor.
Rose Fuchs is a family medicine doctor in Patton, nearly 40 miles away. She cites the recent case of a woman who had a uterine rupture at home during labor and was rushed to Holton Regional Hospital. The baby didn't survive, Fuchs says, but the mother did, barely.
The state of Maine needs to step in and help this place stay open because people, it's not a question of if women or children will die because of this. They will. It's just when. It really is a matter of when.
Holton Regional Hospital officials say in a written statement that the decision to close the OB unit was painful, but that it's impossible to continue because of declining births.
The challenge in rural maternity care is that it's a little bit feast or famine.
Dr. Joyce Hebert is an obstetrician at Northern Light A.R. Gould Hospital in Presque Isle. It's where many of Holton's maternity patients are expected to now deliver.
So 1 week, we may deliver the same number of babies as a center that does two or three times the deliveries we do. And the next week, there's nothing.
Which makes it challenging to staff, Hebert says. Last year, Holton reported 83 births. And Stephen Michaud of the Maine Hospital Association says when annual births dip below 200, that becomes a safety issue because it's harder for staff to keep their skills sharp.
Now, many hospitals don't have 200 births, and that's fine. But the further that drops, especially as you get down toward 100 and certainly below 100, you really get concerned. And a lot of folks think of that it's all about money. And the irony is it has almost nothing to do with money.
Because boosting reimbursement for maternity care won't solve low birth rates, Michaud says, or resurrect closed birthing units. He says Maine needs to find a different model to provide maternity care for people who are far away from birthing hospitals.
So what we got to figure out and what we're in a mad scramble to do is figure out how do you get, you know, midwives involved, other practitioners involved, make sure there's prenatal care and postnatal care to help with those kinds of issues.
For now, local ambulance providers are preparing to step in for potential obstetric emergencies by bolstering their training.
Even though we have full-time paramedics, we are still looking at getting a class in here just to refresh our skills, do more hands-on, and to be better prepared for those types of emergency situations.
Milton Cohn is the fire chief and ambulance director for Holton. He's also wondering if obstetric transports will require an additional crew member, putting more strain on a service that's already stretched thin at times.
That still could be a two-hour time period that our trained people are not available to respond to emergency situation here for the other approximately 10,000 people that we provide EMS coverage for.
Back at the town hall, 7-month pregnant Catherine Scott says prenatal appointments that were just minutes away in Holton now will take several hours with the round trip to Presque Isle. Scott says she worries about what the loss of Holton's OB unit will mean for the future of this rural community.
Who's going to want to move here if you can't deliver a baby here, right? Especially younger people, and that's who we need in the community.
Scott says she gave birth to her first child at Holton Regional Hospital. The OB staff are like family, she says, and she feels like she's lost her village. The labor and delivery unit is slated to close May 2nd. Nurses delivered a petition with 1,400 signatures to hospital officials Wednesday, asking that they cancel the closure. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Patty White.
Judges, attorneys, and advocates for low-income Mainers are warning that the state's civil legal aid system is at a breaking point. And they're asking Maine lawmakers to sustain a $2 million appropriation set to expire in a few months and to add just over $3 million more each year to put Maine on par with other states. Speaking at a news conference at the State House Thursday, former Maine Supreme Court Justice Ellen Gorman says there's been so much attention recently about the need for criminal legal services.
And we don't dispute that. But the need for civil legal services is equally important. It is civil cases that allow people to stay in their homes, to acquire support for their children, educational services for their children, services for veterans, protection from persons who are threatening or hurting you.
Without adequate investment to address those needs, advocates say more Mainers may become homeless, remain in abusive relationships, or be exploited in consumer scams. And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org. Coming up on Maine Calling at 11 tomorrow morning, Maine Senator Angus King. I'm Ari Snyder. Thanks for listening.